Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, we do. And we'll be on deck, of course, to call those games for you. It's Manly Souths and it's Melbourne Penrith. The boys will get an opportunity to have a look at those games a little bit later on in the show. But first things first, let's do this.
Welcome to Maroons Trivia Night.
Just heard back from Brighton's. Code 4-2 oblique 12C. Yes, it's okay for Paul to take on one of the listeners in a game of trivia. That person is Anthony Schifano, better known as Shifty Anthony. Welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
How are you, Maroon?
Absolutely fantastic. What team do you follow in the NRL?
Oh, unfortunately, the Knights.
Oh, the Knights. And you live in Rabbitohs territory. That's pretty stupid, isn't it?
we're in South Newcastle, Maroon. It's close enough.
Yes. All right, mate. Wow. Well, so you play a little bit of trivia around the traps, do you, Shifty?
I've known to get around a bit, Maroon.
Okay. So your name's your buzzer. You take on our would you like to say anything, Hoops, to Shifty before we get on?
Good luck, Shifty.
Right.
So are Gordon and I playing, just to clarify
the
rules
here? You just listen today. Okay, so okay, it's just so like it's normal
just,
for
it's
you.
It's just a head-to-head. Yeah, just like normal. Shifty.
Oh, wow. For you, it would just be like normal, mate. You just stand there. Okay.
And Maroon, you're on fire today.
Okay, so your name is your buzzer. Shifty, can we check your buzzer?
Shifty.
And, right, Paul, you know, here we go. First question. First one to five it is today, okay?
Oh, wow.
Who had a hit in the 1990s with the song Man, I Feel Like a Woman?
Paul.
Paul?
Shania Twain.
Okay, so it's 1-0 to you, Paul. Question number two, Shifty. And Paul. What decade?
Thank you.
In what decade?
This is really as good as it gets, isn't it, Murray?
It is, mate. It is. It's the pinnacle of your trivia career and mine. In what decade did the TV series Days of Our Lives begin? Paul.
70s.
70s is wrong.
Oh, 80s.
It's the 60s.
60s, oh, wasn't
it? So we're back to nil all. Righto, Shifty. Here we
Righto.
Go. On Friday night in the NRL, who wore jumper number 14?
Shifty. Walker?
Yes, indeed it was. 1-0. So you got to get to five, but I don't want to be, it'll 10 past two.
He's a big game player, Shifty.
Here we go.
I reckon he'll lift.
Question number two is another NRL question. What Warriors player had the nickname The Beast?
Shifty. Manu Vadavai.
And it's 2-0. Ooh, all right, Paul, you can get in with this one, Paul. What is the capital of Spain?
Shifty.
Barcelona. Wrong.
Madrid.
I can't believe you knew it, Oops. So that's 1-0 to Shifty. All right.
Yeah, my legal team's looking into some of these insults, Anthony.
Who became Prime Minister of Australia in 2007?
Shifty.
Yes.
Kevin 07.
Yes.
Wow.
2-0. 2-0. All right, here we go. What's the world's busiest shipping canal?
Paul. Panama.
Panama is right. Oh, 2-1.
Boom.
Oh, this is quality stuff. This is this is stimulating debate.
This is Penrith Parramatta all over again.
It is, mate. Now, who is Angelina Jolie's father?
Shifty.
John Voight
wow.
is right. 3-1.
The actor or the dentist?
That's a Seinfeld reference. The actor or the dentist. okay. Here we go. I didn't know you were a Seinfeld fan. Here we go. Okay, 3-1 to you, Shifty. Who wrote The Satanic Verses?
Paul. Salman Rushdie.
And it's 3-2. Here he comes. The old fox.
This is Bone Crusher and our Waverley Star.
3-2. Okay, who flew too close to the sun?
Paul.
Yes.
Shifty.
Yes, Shifty.
George Costanza.
No. That's who flew too close to the sun on wings of pastrami. who flew too close to the sun on melting the wax on his wings? Icarus. Lachlan Angel, what's the score, old mate? Is it 3-1 to Shifty?
3-2.
3-2, Shifty. Righto, come on, mate.
3-2 to Shifty.
Go, Shifty. Here we go. What is the capital of Kenya?
No Shifty.
Idea. Yes.
Nairobi.
Yes. 4-2. Righto, Shifty. Just hang
the
on to you.
Trivia's big back in Nairobi, Maroon. I heard some things.
Yeah, I can't walk the streets over there, mate.
Either will Shifty after today.
Yes. 4-2. Wow. In what country was Tony Gregg born?
Paul.
South Africa. Yes. 4-3. Okay. 4-3. What do we call the wife of a sultan? What do we call the wife of a sultan? 5, 4.
No idea.
3.
I'm not going to guess.
2.
I've got an idea, but
1,
I'm not going to guess.
And it's a sultana. Right. Okay. So it's 4. What is it? 4-3.
4-3.
Righto, here we go. We're going to do another capital here, boys. Are you ready? What's the capital of Malta? Yes.
Valletta.
Valletta is right. Did you say Valletta? I think he said Valletta, but close enough.
Anyway, close enough these days.
Yeah, the stewards.
One's a country.
Did you say Valletta, Shifty, or did you say Vianetta?
Yep, that's right. I got that one.
Right. Well,
okay.
Here you go, mate. You've won. The great news is you can take away the prize. All right. Or you can play on after 3 o'clock and take on James Graham. What do you want to do?
Oh, geez. Well, who are we going to verse at 4 o'clock?
No. You've at 3 o'clock. You can take away the big prize.
He's confident.
All right, we'll go for the big prize, Maroon.
Righto, mate. Go and do your homework. We'll see you in 1 hour.
In bad news, though, Shifty, the big prize is the same as the small prize, which is nothing.
No, the big prize is the coffee with you. So if he wins the big prize, back to you again. And we'll take a break and come back as Triple M rocks the footy.
Hi, this is Wendell Saylor. You can now stream every Triple M game of the NRL and AFL live on Listener. It's just confidence. Ad-lib football.
You can hear it from the box. Kick out.
He's just been kicked out. Download it now. LISTNR.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh, no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sinbin.
It's a very good afternoon, everybody. We are rocking the NRL finals, and we will do right through till the grand final, which, of course, is only a couple of weeks away now. So make sure you listen to the Triple M you're currently listening to or via the Listener app. Download the Listener app now, LISTNR. It's Kenty, it's Gordy Tallis, it's Maroon, and it's Hugh Hoops.
Yeah, there's a little bit of breaking news, Anthony.
Right.
The stewards have launched an inquiry
right.
into that trivia amid suggestions that there may have been an inside job
right.
that you and Shifty had been liaising over the course of the week. So they're going to need to examine phone records. It's going to be forensic. Mm-hmm. They'll leave no stone unturned. And not only that, more to the point as well, there was a complete stuff up with the scores.
Right. Okay, well, let me just say this. I'm impartial. I don't care who wins. You're open to see my phone records, all my accounts, anything that crosses my office. I don't care.
Because you already know there's no record of anything.
There's no paperwork.
Can I just ask you both?
Mate, you are the busiest paper shredder in the town.
Mate, can I just ask what you think? You, Paul, as the bloke that took Shifty on.
I didn't know that. I didn't say a word, Anthony. I copped it.
What have I got to gain?
I thought it was very odd when I came in and told that you'd found some bloke who you didn't know.
Now I know him.
You did. Well, you didn't really know, who does the trivia circuit. I was going to take him on today. But anyway, that's good. That's what floats your boat, mate. That's good for you. You know what?
Yeah.
You've had a little win. Good on you, mate.
No, I haven't.
Hey, you little Aussie battler, you.
I would like to know what you think, Hoops, is for me to gain here.
The
what do you think I've got?
Can you explain, please?
The capital of Kenya?
Can you explain, please? Nairobi. Can you explain, please, the scorecard?
Yeah. No, well, our man Lachlan, Angel.
No, don't blame Lach.
Well,
don't
he was doing the scorecard.
Who runs the quiz?
Me.
Right.
Right.
So you got one job, keep the score, get it right.
Let me just say publicly that I am completely open and okay with taking the trophy away from Shifty, giving it to Paul, or just calling the whole thing, cancelling the whole thing.
That's not what you said privately, though.
Yeah.
So, well, no, no.
So how's your relationship going to go with Shifty then? A bit like Ayrsy. No. You throw him under the bus. God, you're a solid man. God, solid as a tub of jelly.
You've got a good memory, you have. All right, well, look, the other way you can look at this, Paul, is that... You know, mate, you lost. Just cop it like Parramatta last night.
Anthony, you lost. I was not the one that raised the protest. You know that.
I do. Hoops, I don't know what you've got to gain by all this, mate.
Well, maybe we haven't won, and Kenty's our fierce leader. Yes. So if he loses, how does it make us look?
All right, well, that's look, true. We've got
the integrity. But you guys,
we don't ever get given the answers. So.
No, well, he. Look, let me just leave it with the men behind the scenes. We're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. Yes, go on.
The integrity of the brand of Rocket Industries and Maroons Trivia is paramount. Well, look, it has to be seen as squeaky clean.
Thanks to you, Hoops, single-handedly what you have achieved in the last 6 years, my brand, my company has absolutely no credibility.
How could Bankstown RSL ever have you in the joint again?
Oh, mate, Bankstown RSL's next level. Bankstown RSL, home
they
of the
get,
Star
they get the gun set of trivia questions, do they?
Well, they don't do trivia. They've got better things to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
Oh, look, all sorts of things. Origin functions, you know, sports functions, Melbourne Cup days with Erin Molan.
Must be plenty in that.
Oh, look, it's...
If you and Erin are doing it, because she's not cheap to get either.
I don't know what Erin charges, but I just do it for the yearn, but certainly for the love.
Oh, really?
You're still donating.
Star Buffet. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place to be.
How much do you donate back?
So how
back?
Do South Juniors 0.1% feel about you? But, how do South Juniors feel about you moonlighting with other clubs?
There's a simple answer to this. Let's get all our cards on the table. All South Juniors have to do is come up with the scratch, and I'll go there as well. And it's funny you say that because I do their jumbo online raffle on Thursday night. Anything else you want to know about my club?
But I love your honesty.
This afternoon at 5:15 will be online raffle for the Mighty Wendy Leagues. So if you've got Facebook Live, that's where you can see me. Is there anything else you need to know about?
You're not doing it in the dressing room.
Can you do a haircut before these people see you?
No, I put it all back with the hairspray.
It's like Phil Donahue now.
I'll have something to say about my hair soon.
Hey, Maroon, can I give you a challenge? Can you take on Paul next week, right, in a trivia? And Hoops and I come up with the questions. Listen, and if you don't win... Mm-hmm. Just for the grand final show, 1 week only, you got to get the Pappenhausen haircut.
No, I'm not doing that. Because it's...
Mate, it's all for the show,
the
mate.
Line
it's
all for the grand. You're the trivia king.
The main reason I wouldn't do it, and I'm saying this on my father's grave, the main reason I wouldn't do it is because I can't rely on Gordon Tallis to get here on time with 15 questions. That's the main reason why I wouldn't do it.
Mate, do you know what? I'll get here and I'll give you five of them.
Just to be clear, I haven't said I'll do it. Okay?
It doesn't sound like you haven't said you won't do it either.
No, I won't do it. No, there you go.
What about a line in the side as well?
I won't do it.
Mate, you'd look good with the paps just for a week.
It normally comes down to me singing at the grand final.
Be brave. Be brave, Anthony.
Okay.
You honored that. That was tremendous. You sung the national anthem.
That's what I want to do. I want to sing at the grand final.
Come on.
But
again.
I won't be there this year.
Well, glory, glory to South Sydney.
Oh, mate, I was going to do something from Tom Jones, but Billy Joel, but no.
Give us a bit of Tom Jones.
I've got to do my voice exercises. Boys, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get stuck back into the footy. We'll talk about the Melbourne Storm. We'll do I Call BS. Hoops has got a special segment called Hoops in Clubland coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
On the Pappenhausen, stepping, weaving, goodbye! And for the seventh straight season, this Melbourne Storm team is into the preliminary final.
Fogarty gets the ball away to Herman. Herman, he looks for he's thrown it over the sideline.
Just shattered. It was there to be won. We could have been sitting here so happy, but we're not.
And Tony Walker goes over right for the
beside the post. South 16.
Wow.
Penrith 10.
Moses, another run at the line, and he's through. He's into the backfield. Get Mark. This is a wonderful try for Mitchell Moses.
Foran then gets it away to Turbo Tommy, and Tommy Trbojevic goes over. Another try to the great Turbo man.
Too good.
I've just been impressed with the way the Roosters have just sort of showed up for each other the whole time. So I thought they were very brave tonight. And we've played with good physicality. We're going to need that against the South side next week.
Well, that's the ball game. Full time. Manly 42, Roosters 6.
Here's a high kick up from Moses. That's a beauty. It's wobbling. England lets it bounce. Bounces straight up in the air. Michael Blake takes it and scores. That was a kick that just mesmerised the Penrith fullback.
Trying to make the game faster. How many stoppages was there tonight? How many when we were starting to get on top? That's right. I'm proud of the boys. We'll just get on with it and we'll go again next year. No, we had our chances. Not enough. I thought we played pretty well tonight. I thought they played pretty well too. It's a good game of football.
Here it comes out to Cleary. Puts in a grubber. Not much on it, but it's taken by Capel and he gets over. Penrith hang on by the skin of their teeth. They are celebrating in the coach's box. They are off to the prelim final.
Where would you suggest they're at?
We're in a prelim. That's where we're at. Against the reigning premiers. I mean, where else would you rather be?
Yes, indeed. Triple M Rock in the finals. Next week we're on deck. We're on deck two for grand final, all our shows and, of course, the games as well. So Penrith themselves are now through to take on Melbourne. So they've gone about it the hard way. Melbourne have had the week off. Let me ask you straight up, Gordy, can you see Penrith beating Melbourne?
Oh, yeah, I think it's been, yeah. I think it's going to be a cracking game. There's no doubt Melbourne are in the best seat, having a week off, freshening up their players. I think I heard Kenty say on 360 or something, you know, back in the day when you had a week off, it probably wasn't good for you because you'd lose momentum. I think it's so valuable now to give your players rest, I think, with all the travel that they've been doing up here as well. So I think Melbourne in the gun seat, but Penrith, how much did last night take out of them? As soon as full-time finished and I was trying to, you know, work out next week, Craig Bellamy would have had a smile on his face because of how brutal and how much it takes out of him. But if Ivan Cleary can convince the players that they're match-hardened and, you know, it's a battle of the coaches. But when it comes down to this, you know, just watching it last night, watching the footy over the finals, it hasn't really been about great plans. It's been about effort. It's been about you wanting to beat the other guy in front of you and working hard as a team and not letting your teammate down. And Penrith showed that last night. They were under pressure. Parramatta were brilliant. Parramatta played like that a month ago and beat the Melbourne Storm. So Penrith are in it, and I'd say it'd be 55-45, you know what I mean? But I think Storm are ahead, but not by much.
Can I ask you, Gordon, when you were on the sidelines last night and watching that game, the Panthers forwards, and specifically James Fisher-Harris, he's been one of the best front rowers for the last couple of seasons. But since he had that little break, I don't know if he's carrying something or what it is, but he just, middle doesn't seem to have been quite as effective and dominant as what it was.
Look, they were dominant. To start the game, that's what we were all, like, it was intense. Like, on the sideline, sitting there watching, you know, Brad Arthur and Ivan get interviewed from Nine, Fox and Triple M, you know, just listen. And it was all about the battle. It was always about winning the middle. It was about Junior. It was all that. So that's what everybody had their cards on the table. I thought Penrith were probably winning the battle for the first 20 minutes, but didn't get any points because of how well Parramatta defended. So they were good. And just on Fisher-Harris, they have a month off and they have a baby. I could only imagine that you're not training at the intensity that you do when you're with your teammates. I don't care who you are. Now, you can be Superman. You're not going to go away and train by yourself with the same intensity. So there's no doubt that it probably freshened him up a little bit. But, you know, for 1 month, you know, he was sitting in quarantine for 2 weeks. So that was he?
Yes.
Yeah. Or was it all 4 weeks?
He definitely did 2 weeks to get back into the bubble once he was across the border again.
Yeah. So 2 weeks, I don't think that, you know, and just – I can only imagine, mate, when you have your baby, that's what you want to go spend your time with. You know, you don't want to go out and hit the road and run and do all that kind of stuff.
Do you think he's rethinking that decision now, Gordon?
That's a tough one, Paul. that's like the chicken or the egg. You know what I mean? Like, because family's really important because they're with you through the highs and lows and you want to be there. And I remember when I was going to have my first boy, Ethan, Wayne Bennett said, oh, what's going to happen? I said, oh, no, I'm going to play footy. He goes, no, no, don't make that decision. You tell me when the baby's going to be due and we will work out a plan around it to make sure that you don't miss it. It's important. So without the COVID situation, the 2 weeks, it's probably hard. It is a big decision, Paul, but there's bigger decisions getting made through COVID than going and watching your baby. And at the end of the day, now that I'm retired, it is a footy game, you know, and your kids are with you for the rest of your life. So that's a real tough one to answer.
But that's true.
I don't know what I would have done. Do you know what you would have done, Paul?
No. Well, I never had to think about that, Gordon. But you know what I mean? Like, I get it's a footy game and the kids are with you the rest of your life. But again, the kids are with you the rest of your life. And for the sake of 2 weeks, you could have also a premiership for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, that's the unpopular way of looking at it, Paul.
Thank God it's not Mother's Day today. Like, but I think it's legit. Like, because look, there's been instances in it. Like, I remember Johnny Sattler went on the 67 Kangaroo Tour and his daughter was born while he was on the tour. And she was, I think, best part of 3 months old when he got back to Australia. Because that's just the way it happened back then.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's all about changing values, I suppose, over the time. But again, like I said, like, the kids certainly are not going to remember Dad being there for his birth.
No.
You know what I mean?
So maybe say for instance, Fisher Harris, he could have sent his best mate in for
as a proxy, you know, stunt double.
You're a pelican.
But normally,
where do you get some of these dribbling ideas from?
You are,
because he's got this little fantasy of being Billie Jean King's stunt double. let's be honest.
Actually, I can give you a little prelude of Maroon Confidential here. I can give you a little prelude. Yeah, our spies out and about up in far north Queensland for that game at Mackay last night have reported a couple of things in relation to yourself, Anthony.
Well, I wasn't in Mackay, so let's leave that for its own segment because we've got important matters to talk about here. South take on Manly. Manly have lost their last three prelims, but in all those three, I don't believe South have ever been the team that's had the week off and been waiting there for their rivals to join them. So this gives them a genuine advantage this time around.
They're in a tremendous position, South Sydney, and you know, everybody had written them off, especially when they lost Luttrell to the suspension. That's part of the genius of Wayne Bennett. Gordy's been coached by him. Gordy's won premierships with him. Whether you like Wayne or whether you don't like him, he is a champion coach. And he knows how to hit the right buttons at the right times. Yeah. Here we are in September. He's sitting back like Bart Cummings with his Melbourne Cup preparation. And he looks as though he's got it pretty good.
This is what you buy Wayne Bennett for. You don't buy him to rebuild a club. If your club is close, if you're at base, you know, like if you're at base camp and you need to get to the summit, he can get you, you know, like the next, you know, four games. He, you know, to get like a Newcastle, that's probably not his realm anymore. But South Sydney, I had a question mark over their forward pack halfway through the year. I thought they were just a bit of a soft underbelly, and they've proved me wrong. Yes, I think they've stood up to every side that they've had to. They've dominated. They work hard for each other, their defence. And I thought without Luttrell, they would miss, but their attack is as good as any, and South are in it up to their eyeballs.
They've got great variety in their forward pack, Gordon. You've got the speed and the agility of Cameron Murray, right? And then you've got a blockbusting X factor like Keon Kolomatungi, who's really shot himself out of a cannon this season.
And just do their job. Like South Sydney, like you go in and Adam Reynolds, like he's hit some rare form as well. Like he's on the right hand. So you talk about the left hand side of attack, and you know, he's the key and he's, you know, hitting the right side. Mate, they're going to be hard to stop South Sydney, mate. You want to be on your game defensively. And the way they defended against Penrith, that is Wayne Bennett. We defend like Parramatta and Penrith last night for 80 minutes. That's what we're going to do. And we will pick up two or three tries because South Sydney are good enough. He goes, so he knows that the attack will tick over, but he'll have them primed to defend for 80 minutes.
I'll tell you what, Gordy, it'll be an epic build-up if it does play out that it's the Bunnies against Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the storylines all week will be about
you won't hear
Bennett
about any players. Mate, like, there'll be no players playing. It'll be Bennett versus Bellamy. That's what it'll be. And do you know what they should do for that game, one game only? Just have a 19th player and have Bennett and Bellamy sitting in jerseys on the sideline. But they can only tackle each other like the old boys game where they have the red flags on their shorts. You've got to be the same age to tackle them.
All right, well, let's get our crystal balls out and answer this question. Who do we think? Let me. It's a two-part question.
Yep.
I'll start with you, Hoops. Who plays in the grand final and who wins?
I'll say Melbourne and Souths.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say Souths.
What about you, Paul?
I think Melbourne and Souths, and I think Melbourne.
And Gordon?
Melbourne and Souths, Melbourne.
Okay, all right. Let's now take a break and we'll come back. We'll lighten things up a little bit. We've got I Call BS to do very shortly.
Maroon, who do you think's going to play in the final?
I think it'll be Melbourne and Souths.
And who wins?
I think Souths will win, obviously. But I genuinely believe from here it'll be Melbourne and Souths. So, I mean, Souths obviously have a terrible record in clubland against Melbourne. But, you know, all these crazy records and hoodoos are only made to be broken. I know they've lost their last three prelims. I'll just put my false teeth back in. Penrith last year beat them, Raiders the year before, and back in 2018 with Anthony Seibold as coach, all the effort areas were covered off that day, but still the Roosters had a win. Let's take a break as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And, of course, life is good on board a Sea-Doo. So get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. No passport, no worries. Just get on board a Sea-Doo. I know they're looking at, well, we're still looking at the summer show, and I've had lots and lots of correspondence over my desk this week.
Spud Carroll's been in touch. He's out on the Sea-Doo today. He's got his fishing rod. So a little bit of recreation on his ace.
Interesting time for Spud.
Drops a line in the water.
He played for Manly, Penrith and South. So where does his loyalty lie? Maybe it lies with, because of Russell, it lies with Souths.
I know he has got a soft spot for the Bunnies, but he won a comp with Manly. So you'd have to ask him, Anthony.
Anyway, boys, it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Well, I'm going to just start off with an one from me here today. Like most people, I haven't had a haircut for 14 weeks because of the origin, the COVID lockdown, because of COVID. I haven't had a haircut. We bought some clippers. We tried to do it ourselves at home, but the clippers malfunctioned and we both got annoyed with the clippers and threw them out and just said, leave it like and get a haircut.
So Miss Portia got the clippers out too.
She got them out on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they wasn't working and she wasn't wanting to do it. And
is that 14 weeks now?
However long COVID,
yeah, no, it's
and
been
probably
about 12.
four weeks before that.
Yeah, right.
So it's a bit, but
it doesn't grow very fast, does it?
You've all got to be joking. Look at yours not growing at all.
Yeah, but look.
It grows faster than yours.
Sorry, Ellen DeGeneres.
So, well, this is the point I'm trying to make. I've been called in that time that I've been told that I look like Ellen DeGeneres, Billie Jean King, Dawn Fraser, and a 70s adult movie star, and finally Donahue. I've been
Phil
told
Donahue.
Phil Donahue. Yeah. So, but the interesting thing here, Paul, is that I've been told all these things by Wendell Saylor, Mark Geyer, Gordon Tallis, James Hooper. None of you have any hair. So none of you have any hair. So from your point of view, I've got a quality problem, haven't I?
You have, man.
Well done.
But it's still great banter.
Yeah, right. That's my I Call BS for today.
That's always your right bow too, isn't it, Andrews? You know what I mean? I'm with you, brother. Yeah. You keep going there. Nothing worse than blokes that don't have hair bagging you for the way you
just
do it.
Just because we haven't got hair doesn't mean you can't comment on it.
Well,
no, that
I think
doesn't
it
mean
does.
That, but I'll tell you what, it's like you sound like those poor people who just hate on rich people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what you are.
That's all right.
People have got no money until you had to invest your money.
Yeah.
What
you know all about that.
I wouldn't know about either of those things.
Aye.
Who would like to call BS?
Yeah, I'll call BS on some of the keyboard warrior pelicans on social media that are all trying to tee off on Ryan Girdler because he did his job yesterday and had a strong opinion the Seagulls. He pointed out that Manly, in his view, are flat track bullies. I must say, I thought all the commentary was entirely fair, and predictably, the sewer of social media. They want to pull the pin out of hand grenades and blow everything up and all the rest of it.
Yeah. You don't have to agree with it, but the fact is, he can mount a legitimate argument. They haven't beaten Para, haven't beaten Melbourne, haven't beaten Penrith, haven't beaten South. Their wins have been fattened on all those bottom teams, which are teams they were expected to beat. But the fact is, they've still got to, these are the three teams now you've got to beat to win the comp. Haven't beaten any of them all year.
Okay, it's a good one. What about you, Gordy?
I've got to save mine for my apricity rant, Anthony, because I don't have too many. If I, I don't have too many, mate.
Okay, mate. Well, we'll hang on to yours today. for the team at Apricity.
That's for the Raging Bull.
And Paul?
No, I'm fine. I've been ranting all day. Honestly. Look, it's Sunday for me, so it's a rant day.
Paul's fun day.
Exactly, Gordon. I just think that they need to, when they sit down for the review of the bunker and all that over the off-season, they need to sit down and seriously consider winding it back because it has not improved the game in any manner. And I think that some of the other rules that have crept in, they need to just get it out there. The things like stopping the play every time a player goes down, allowing trainers to basically dictate the tempo of the game, is embarrassing.
All right.
I've had my rant.
Okay. Boys, we'll leave that there. I call BS. James Graham joins us after 3 and we'll get his thoughts on all these things as well. Just while we've got a minute, Hoops, any club news around that you can tell us about?
Yeah, there's a bit of talk. Obviously, a lot of focus has been on the West Tigers and when they're going to make a decision re their coach. They don't do anything in haste at the Tigers, so we know that review has been ongoing. There is some talk. There might be some news later in the week. In my view, I don't think that Madge will be at the Tigers for next year and beyond. And I think that what they will certainly ratify is that Tim Sheens will, he was originally hired as the head of football performance, but I think that role will now be elevated into being the coaching director.
Okay.
So he'll sit, whoever they do end up with as their head coach for next season, Tim Sheens will be sitting over the top of everything.
So what happens to Adam Hardigan there, who's the head of recruitment and all that?
Yeah, I don't know, because obviously he and Madge did lock horns a little bit towards the end of the season. I'm not sure whether Adam remains there or not. I mean, he's doing he was partially helping out with the interviews of the review, though, wasn't he? So
yeah.
Does that mean that he's under any sort
he'll
of
come up as a problem then, will he?
It's the internal review.
And
it's like when Maroon audits his books.
There's
nothing to see except the shredder.
You're on fire today, aren't you? Now, what about the talk? Is it? Do you think it's across the line here, Hoops, that if Sheensy gets the gig, well, he goes in as coaching director, and Cam Ciraldo joins the coaching staff?
Well, this is where there's a big decision to be made for Cameron Ciraldo if the Tigers opt to go that way, and where the layers of complexity get further fascinating is that he's worked under Ivan Cleary now for the last 3 seasons. Ivan obviously left the Tigers in acrimonious circumstances where, you know, he told everybody to get on the bus and then he decided to get off the bus himself. Still had a couple of years to run on his contract. Penrith ended up paying the Tigers to allow him to be released from his contract with them. So I don't know what, when Cameron Ciraldo and Ivan are sitting back having a beer, I don't know what Ivan would
Ivan be aware. Ivan be aware of what the interest is and what he's thinking. And there's no doubt at some point Cameron Ciraldo is, if he gets offered a job, he's going to take it. Like, and no head coach.
Ivan, what do you think Ivan says to Cameron about the Tigers job though? Because he's obviously been on the inside there himself.
Oh yeah, but he took the job himself, didn't he? He took it and he claims the only reason he wanted out of the job was so he could coach Nathan. Well, Cameron doesn't have a son, so yeah, there are some. I think there's always positive shoots at the Tigers. I don't think Ivan would be talking him out of it. Ivan probably doesn't have too many fond memories of his time at Tiger Town. But look,
you were talking about an hour ago about the cookie cutters and their watered down versions.
Yep.
Who's better than Madge?
Well, that's my there. Point, Gordon. I've been a supporter of Michael Maguire, and I think Michael Maguire is a quality coach. I think the Tigers roster is pretty. It's pretty
been out of shape.
Yeah, I think it's look. I don't like using the word weak, but there's just not a lot of there's not a lot of go in the Tigers. There's not a lot of toughness in there. And Michael Maguire needs tough players, and he needs senior players, and he needs guys who can rally the group, like all those sorts of things. He needs a veteran squad, so to speak, I think. Now, I just think the way that they've recruited in recent years has not been good. I think they compromised themselves a little bit when they went after the likes of Leilua and Roberts because they recognised that they were having trouble scoring points. So they took on players who they knew had a few problems in them in the hope that they could minimise the problems and getting some points out of them. And a lot of coaches do that over time. But you can have too big a balance in your squad. And once you have one or two, it can begin to infect the rest of the group. I think that was a bad decision. I don't think that they've been good for the club. I think, you know, Leilua does move on now. He's finished his time at the Tigers. I think they're still trying to negotiate with Roberts to keep him there. And they look at the money spent for him and they think there's value for money there. But the fact is, there are a lot of negatives there too. He's not playing a lot of football. I'll challenge anyone to come up with a game where Jimmy Roberts absolutely blitzed for the Tigers.
Yes.
No, he hasn't.
I don't think he has in his time there. Mm. So this compulsion to try and re-sign him, I don't know why. I think, unfortunately for the Tigers, and they don't want to hear it because they've spent so long trying to figure out how to improve and they haven't done that. The only solution, I think, for the Tigers is a long rebuild where they've got to go and they've really got to be very clever about what junior players they put down on long-term deals and they've got to keep them there and they've just got to wait for those kids to come through because their record for going out in the market and recruiting is pretty poor. Mm. There's no one you can say, well, that was a great signing choice there.
No, they've thrown good money after bad.
Yeah, you look at, say, Manly, for instance. They've gone out and they threw Kieran Foran an offer and everyone went, what are you doing? Like, he looked busted. He hadn't played a good game for 3 years. But Dez was confident he could get him right and he went out and he turned him into a value signing. You look at, you don't need to talk about what's happened at Melbourne, what they've done with players who have been unwanted at other clubs and they've taken them in. Remus Smith, there's not a tear shed when he left Canterbury last year. He's been one of the best centres in the competition. But that none of that's happened at the Tigers. There's no one you sit there and say, like, they've signed some players, off Hangawi and who else they got? James Tarmo. None of them you sit there and say, wow, what about what they're doing here?
Yeah.
They're just not doing it. So they've got to go back. But then you look at the other side. Tedesco was a junior. Aaron Woods was a junior. Pappenhausen was a junior. Ado Carr was a junior. Mitch Moses was a junior. So there's certainly nothing wrong with their junior systems. They've just got to keep them at the club. But you don't do that in a season. That's going to take a few years. And it doesn't matter who your head coach is. It's going to take them a few years.
The challenge for Madge in the more immediate, Kenty, is to your point about the roster, he's had a big part in assembling that roster. He sits over all of those decisions. He has a major input.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
The table, and that I think that's going to.
There's no doubt they have a problem recruiting, and yes. I don't know why that is. I don't know where. Look, I
think it's a variety of reasons. I think the fact that the CEO is hard pressed getting a wrap around the game, right?
Yeah.
Then you've got the head of football, who, aside from at the Tigers and in rugby league circles, isn't that well known and isn't somebody that people go, oh, yeah, that bloke, yeah, because, you know, he'll get my career on the right trajectory. You've only got to look at the players, Kenty, that they've missed out on, that they've had a red-hot crack at. Pangai, earlier in the season,
they went after Pangai.
They put the pitch on.
But when they sat down and what they believe Pangai was doing was basically using the West Tigers job to springboard into a bigger offer elsewhere. They were just using his the Tigers believe Pangai was using his leverage to get better offers elsewhere. And the only way he was going to go to the Tigers, and this is common, if you're a bottom ranked club, you've got to pay overs. So if Tigers were going to pay ridiculous overs for Pangai to go there, then he'd consider it. But if he's getting like for like. Okay, now I know he's at
but
Canterbury next year.
If they
were
only being used to throw a bit off the wall, then why do they go to the extent of flying to Brisbane,
I think that's when they realised. I think it wasn't until after then that they realised that they were just being used up in the negotiation.
Mm.
But they're in there having a crack. You can't blame
them for that. I don't fault them for that.
And I don't cop the argument that Latrell Mitchell went to South
for less,
for $400,000 less because he didn't want to play for Maguire. I'll never believe that. There are other forces at work there that I'm not going to go on to right now. But there's other reasons. The simple fact that it was all, I'll take $400,000 less to get, not play for Michael Maguire, please. Mm. No way in the world.
Latrell always wanted to go back to South. His dad had a history with the club. He knows how big and how strong Souths are in the Indigenous community. And he always wanted to play for the Bunnies.
Just to close off on this Cameron Seraldo thing, do you boys see it a little bit like the situation with Craig Fitzgibbon in that he is at a successful club? He's been there long term. He's going to get offered these jobs. He's just got to take the right one.
Well, that's what they all do, Anthony. That's what they all do. But as I've said, I don't think it's necessarily the right way to go. You look at a bloke like Anthony Griffin, okay? He went out and he coached Toowoomba, head coach there for a while. There's a big difference. I remember talking to a rep coach some years back when New South Wales were going through all their problems, couldn't find players. And I said, and he was trying to find a hooker to play for New South Wales. It was Ricky Stewart. And he was just going through different players. And there just wasn't a hooker in the top half of the competition who was eligible for New South Wales. And in the end, respectfully, they were for Jamie Bure. Okay.
Remember, yes.
Mm. Now, so Jamie Bure was picked. Now, as they were going through, he was trying to think of various players he could have in that position. And he had his assistants with him. And every time he threw up a name, what do you think of this guy? Can't play. What do you think of this guy? Mate, defense is no good. What about this guy? Can't think on the spot. They threw up a reason not to pick any of the players. And in the end, he said, well, who should I pick? And they said, oh, no, it's up to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the difference between a head coach and an assistant coach, because at the end of the day, the head coach is the one that's got to put a name down on the team sheet. He's got to make a decision from a discipline point of view if a player's missed a training session. There's so many things that are on the head coach that are not part of the assistant system. The assistants sit in there and they go through video and they do all that, and their knowledge of the X's and O's is first class. Never been better. But there are so many other aspects to coaching that make the great coach, and that's what Wayne Bennett is proving right now. Wayne Bennett falls asleep in video sessions.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true. He does. He falls asleep in
it. Because laugh of it.
You know, it's bit of a gag at the Rabbitohs, but it's not that important to him because...
Mate, he was falling asleep when I retired. But Paul, listen. No, mate, I'm serious, right? So, like, on the coaching, right? Coaching's coaching. And you need experience. If I was at Melbourne Storm, I would have won 4 premierships. If I was at the Roosters, I would have won 4 premierships as assistant coach. That doesn't mean I can coach. Exactly. If I'm at Penrith, I'm at a head club, and look at the attack and the defence. I'm sitting under someone. I've got the best players. Coaching is now coaching the Bulldogs. I guarantee Trent Barrett is learning more this year than what he has in his whole life.
Coaching is taken for Trent Barrett, the player who's 25 on his roster, and turning him into an NRL starter.
Mm.
That's what Bennett does. That's what Craig Bellamy does better than anybody. Craig Bellamy got Jerome Hughes there who failed at 2 clubs. He's turned him into one of the best halfbacks. Yeah. Failed at 2 clubs as a fullback. He's turned him into one of the
best halfback in the comp.
He's turned him one of the best halfbacks in the competition. Ryan Pappenhausen, when Melbourne identified him, took him into the club, and then when they had Sarakas problems, said, "Well, the simple solution to this is to put Ryan Pappenhausen out and get another club to pick him up. That is our salary cap problems." No other club wanted him. So Melbourne said, okay, he's staying with us. They figured out another way around their cap problems, and then they put the work into him, and they've turned him into an Origin standard player. That is coaching. Mm. Yet you see these other clubs, and you get these coaches who take a system from their previous employment, and they put it into this new club. But they're only putting in a certain part of it. They're only putting in the X's and O's and all the rest of it. There's so many other things that come to running a football club. Mm. And when it doesn't work, they don't know the answer why. Well, it worked at Melbourne or worked at Penrith or worked at South. Why isn't it working for me now? Because there are other parts that have got to come into consideration. And that's where the good coaches who have generally had a little bit of worldly experience, they've not just come through a great system where that for 10 years – they've sat down as an assistant to Craig Bellamy and just learned how easy it is to win. That doesn't make a great coach. There are other parts to it. And you know, Adam O'Brien, he was never a head coach anywhere else. He's never head coached anywhere other than when he got the job at Newcastle. He knows his footy, but he's learning there are other parts to it. It's managing Mitch Pearce up there. It's trying to get the Safidi boys working well. It's trying to negotiate with and try and get all these kids who are, you know, they're big fish in a small town. They walk around Newcastle like they've actually won something.
Yeah.
And he's got to try and keep them on the straight and narrow and keep the head focused on playing footy. That's something that the assistants don't normally have to worry about.
All right, boys, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, lighten things up a bit with Maroon Confidential with Hoops. It's coming up next, and then James Graham joins us as Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, everybody. We do it thanks to Sea-Doo. Hope you are enjoying the NRL finals run home. And, of course, we'll have all the games live on Triple M and also via the listener app. And thanks once again to all our sponsors, one of them being Macca's, who delivered us a lovely breakfast here today. Just very quickly, Michael Carayannis is reporting that West Tigers are set to axe Michael Maguire after a dramatic mood shift and usher in yet another new coaching era. So we might get a chance to discuss that after three. But right now, let's do this.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
Yeah, with Hoops.
It's back by popular demand, Anthony. Yeah. We're going to kick off today with a spotted.
Okay.
We've got spies all over the great game of rugby
league.
Oh,
you're doing them. Fantastic job.
Now, a lady bearing a striking resemblance to tennis great Billie Jean King and also US talk show host Phil Donahue sitting sideline at Mackay for the belter between Parramatta and Penrith last night. Now, Anthony, can you confirm or deny that you got the Triple M chopper?
Yeah.
Had it transport you up there into far north Queensland and then ducked on it and managed to make it back in time for today's program.
Well, it wasn't me, but can I just tell you something? Now, this is where it would be good if we were on, say, the Matty John show or something, because we could show the photo of the woman with the hairdo that looks like me. But the listeners can't actually.
So, yeah, Hoops, you've got to figure out. This is actually an audio show.
I get that. It's not video. I get that. Yeah, I understand.
Was it Frank Panisi? Well, in the photo
do we know who it was, Gordy? Gordy took the photo.
I was sitting on the sideline and I nearly choked on my second hot dog when I thought, there's Maroon, he's had a haircut.
And, can I actually see the photo?
And the lovely female lady was so polite. Yeah, so
female
I snuck
lady.
A photo.
So hang on. He's taking photos of women when they're not looking. This is a current affair thing.
Don't try and go down that road.
Oh, mate, can I get Tracy Grimshaw or something onto it? Oh, yeah, that does look like me, doesn't it? Wow. Wow.
And even more front on.
Now, next up, we've got a shush.
Right.
You love a shush, Anthony. Rocket Industries spies on the Sunshine Coast have reported talk Panthers star Brian To'o may have actually injured his ankle in a playful pool wrestle with teammates in the Twin Waters Resort pool. Now, the Panthers are saying that To'o twisted his ankle at training, but was it, in fact, a bit of poolside play that meant that he missed out on last night's game? Maroon Confidential can also reveal the magical elixir To'o will turn to be fit in time for next week's prelim against the Melbourne Storm, pineapple juice.
That's incredible, because I don't know if I've told you this, but I sat with Brian To'o's uncle on the plane to Townsville, who told me, this is a true story, pineapple juice is the elixir for your skin, also your innards, your lungs, your liver, your heart, whatnot. You know, your eyes, it's good for your eyes. It's good for your hair follicles. And
bit of a squirt in the eye from pineapple juice makes your eyes better.
Yeah, the old pineapple juice.
Oh, onto something. It is good, pineapple juice. It's very good for you.
So is it eating pineapple or you got to drink the juice?
I think it's either or. Isn't
I tell you, and you know when it really takes, put a little bit of vodka in with it.
Bit of Grey Goose.
Bit of cream.
Off you go.
And now lastly in Maroon Confidential, champion Manly player Jeff Tuvey had everyone in rugby league in stitches with his reference to putting keys in the fruit bowl when mounting an argument on Beat the Bomb segment on NRL 360 early last week. Now, several influential figures within the game immediately demanded there needs to be an investigation. Upon closer inspection, it turns out that Tuves meant to say put the cards on the table.
He said put the keys in the fruit bowl.
Just rolled off the tongue and into the fruit bowl.
What goes up on there in the northern beaches?
Freudian slip.
Mm. All right. Well, I think we'll take a break now, Paul. I just want to say, and I'm not having a crack at you here, Mac has brought us all in a lovely lunch. We all got a happy meal, but you didn't. But you've still got a couple of burgers into you.
That's true, Anthony.
Yeah. We'll catch
you. Get happy meal.
We'll catch you tomorrow night on NRL 360.
See ya.
And we'll take a break.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.